What is this shift?
We're ready to talk to the people now.
We can chat with the people.
Talk to the people. Ready, set, go.
Go.
Do this. Shift hit the fan. Welcome. Everybody, one and all the shifties. All the shifties.
Welcome, shifties.
All the shift shapers. No.
The shift shapers have joined us. Let's shape that shift.
Great. Today, we have this as your main card.
Eight of Swords.
The Eight of Swords. And this is your hidden energy, strength.
They are beautiful cards.
Yeah. Powerful, I think.
And for all the listeners out there, the Eight of Swords has this, has a woman that's been bound and blindfolded, and there's eight swords around her in the sticking into the ground, and a castle in the background. And then strength has this girl who is, I would say, tending to a lion, kind of caressing the lion is what it feels like to me. Interacting with a lion, and she's got an infinity sign above her head.
Flowers coming out of her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to go with what you see on this, or do you want?
You start.
I start. All right. So I love this card with the girl being blindfolded and wrapped up. And what came to mind for me at first was just this feeling of that I've had frequently, that I see more whenever I am blinded, whenever I take away my sight. So whenever I do energy work, long distance energy work, or anything like that, especially long distance energy work, I will blindfold myself so that I can tune in to the person's body or their energy in a way that allows me to not focus on my sight. And I've noticed that it helps me actually with like my ADHD. I think my ADHD is a very similar to, is very tied to sight and what I'm seeing and wanting to do something different. But when I am blindfolded or when I can't see, it's like a calmness comes over me, and I have to use all the other senses that are equally as strong as my sight, if not more stronger, like has more strength than my sight. Because I'm practically blind sometimes. Like I need glasses to be able to see stuff. But like I feel like I see so much more. And so what I see in this, and especially with the strength being the hidden energy, and the way this girl is so calm in the image, that she has, then she's interacting with this lion in a way that is, it feels like she's caring for the lion. It's not something that she's showing the brute force strength that we tend to see with strength, but she's calm and confident. And that calm confidence gives that ability to show the strength. It allows the lion to give her trust. And I think about this idea of being bound and limited in our ability to see or to interact with life around us. And I think that there's a huge strength when we can find that calm inner peace. And even the tarot card that I had today, the Ace of Pentacles, had this little lizard at the very top, and everything's looking up to him. But it felt like he's just looking and observing at everything that's around him. And because he has that observation and that calmness and that confidence, everything, all the other entities are looking up towards him. And I think sometimes that's where we find our strength, is where we're not always doing the work. We're not always pushing really hard, but we're able to sit back and observe and watch and feel into our environment and allow that confidence to just sit inside of us. And I don't think that's always the case, but I think that there's power in being able to do that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, what I was saying is this is one of my favorite cards, actually. There's something really powerful about it. And I agree with a lot of what you've said. You know, for me, you know, like you pointed to these swords, none of them are pointed at her. It's almost as if she's aligned with her thoughts. With her intellect, and she's so comfortable and so free in these bounds. That's the feeling I get from her, because she looks so calm, so focused, but gently focused. And as you were pointing to, like there's no force, in like true strength and power. Like real strength doesn't require any force. And so that's what, you know, they're almost the same card for me. This is like the you're so aligned with your thoughts that you've shut the world out, like all the other senses. You've made sure that you don't move outside of what you're creating, what you're manifesting, what you're like thinking of, what you want to make true. So you shut out. I do the same thing. Like at least I just close my eyes to make sure that I'm fully focused on whatever it is, so that I can tune into whatever needs help healing. And that's sort of the same idea here. What I noticed was this castle back here in the background. It's, you know, it's only starting to be shaped, but the rest is still part of the mountain. It blends into it. So and this putting yourself in this position where you shut out the world, and it doesn't look like these bandages are very tight, but it's just enough to keep yourself in there, so that eventually you do become one with the reality that you're shaping. It's like the perfect place to be. The perfection, of that process of manifesting. Because this is the point where, as soon as you get here, you can let go. You can completely surrender, and you've made it to the point of, this is what's going to pin you down. This is what you're going to be, fully aligned with. All of it is pointing into the ground, which is the manifest, the reality. And it's like the emotions, the reality, everything is fully aligned with the thing that you've got in mind. Yeah. I, like I said, I really resonate with these cards because I'm actually starting to see in the physical. I've taken a couple of pictures of myself because I see like my body. I could feel the strength and I could see it finally. Like all this stuff that I'm going through, it's finally making its way to the physical. And it is a gentle approach. To tame that lion, to a very fiery lion too. But it's like a little kitty cat, the way that it's reacting, like a kitten, just like all about the affection, all about like how it feels in the calmness, in the presence of the person who's tamed it. And yeah, I've been feeling this. This whole vibe lately, just like for the past week. So I love it. Started blanking out for a little bit, so
I really like the it, this the, so the girl in the Eight of Swords, she's got a lot of red on her dress, and it could be seen as blood. It could just be that she's red, whatever it might be. But it makes me think of pain, and given what we're talking about here with this calm and lack of like this finding that calmness and that assurance and that strength in the calmness brings up the things that I work with a lot, which is finding relaxation through pain. And so the stick work that I'll do is working with people's pain. It's a deep tissue massage, and then it's helping train them, retrain their nervous system, retrain their consciousness to let go of the sensation of pain so that they can see it in a different light, so they can gain control in some ways. But that control only comes through the relaxation, through being able to breathe and relax through the discomfort, through the things that we actually don't control, can't control in our life. And it's this feeling of the more we try to control the things around us, the more tension we're going to try to have. And the more tension we have, the more inability that we'll be less able to be able to, we'll be less, a I can't say this word at all.
You can do it. I believe in
But
you.
we'll be less able to actually move and perform our actions in life. And that's a huge thing. Like that, a lot of what I work with is just working with the tension in the body and allowing this tension to work itself out. And when you have that less tension, you'll be able to move more freely. You'll have more movement and you'll feel so much better without like holding all that energy in one spot. And so as we go through our life, learning how to breathe and to relax through all the things that are coming up in our life and letting it just be, letting life take its pathway the way it needs to take it. That to me, it just brings this magical sense of just existing and being and living in a way that just allows you to live a beautiful life and gives you so much more power and choice in what you do and what you have to say. And the way that I always look at it is that it's the sense of agency of who are you an agent unto? Like, are you your own agent? Are you able to act for yourself? And if you are, you also ought to give that agency to other people. You should be able to allow them to act for themselves, and not even just other people, but allow life to act for freely for itself. And when you're allowing everything else in life to have its freedom, your own freedom becomes even stronger and more powerful. And people will see that, and they will absorb that energy themselves and become more free as you become more free. But the more you tie yourself into the things that are happening on your external environment and trying to control those things and not giving those things their freedom, the less freedom you'll have yourself. Even if you feel like you have a good handle on what's happening around you, you'll still be constricting your life more and more until you're miserable. And life will just feel miserable for you and everybody else around you.
You reminded me of a thing that I used to tell people, especially those who felt the need to control others. I would say the best way to actually have control is to let yourself be completely out of control. It's like, if you want true power and true control in your life, you've got to let yourself, you've got to allow yourself not to be controlling yourself, but to let yourself be out of control. And so it's like a surrender to whatever life is going to bring you, to a surrender to whatever way you want to react in the moment. And because you giving yourself that freedom is how you do gain true actual control over your life. Because then you get to know yourself. You get to know, you've talked about this before, letting yourself react so that you learn how you behave, and then you get to decide whether or not you actually want to continue reacting that way. Now it's become a choice. Maybe I don't want that in my life. Maybe I don't want to be that kind of person. but because you've allowed yourself to just naturally respond, you gave yourself that freedom. You've allowed that thing to come through you, and express itself. And it could have been a very, very old expression that's just been wanting to come through, and now it no longer needs to keep functioning that way because you've finally given that thing an escape. You've let it come out and come through, and it's been seen and heard and fully experienced. And now you're free to choose whether or not you're going to do it again the next time. That's all a function of like just allowing yourself to be human, allowing yourself to make mistakes, and still loving yourself, and still, especially granting that same thing for others. It doesn't mean you have to allow for to be physically abused or harmed in any way, but you can allow it from a distance and not hold people to these things as if that's their true character, or that's who they are. If it can just flow through you, it has the freedom to actually flow through them as well. Yeah, that was my thought.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to have that idea of what is it that really just relaxing your through the reactions that we have and allowing ourselves to have that. And if you think about how much, like when you're doing something that you having a reaction that you don't enjoy or that you want to change or that you want to like you consider a bad reaction, how much tension was in that reaction, and how much space did you give yourself to observe what was happening in that time? When you're relaxed, you're able to just step back and just observe what's happening and see what's happening, and it gives you so much more freedom to say, do I actually want this or do I want something different? And it, like you said, it just becomes that choice. But if you're tense, then you're going to try to react quickly and you're not going to think about it. And then your reaction is going to be impulsive. And sometimes that impulsiveness is okay. But is it a choice that you're actually making, or is it an instinctive reaction that just, that's your coping mechanism to whatever's happening in the moment? And we need that. We need our bodies to be able to act instinctively. You know, we walk instinctively because we've trained that in ourselves. And everything, every response that we have, every reaction is just a trained response reaction to whatever stimulus is going on around us. But if you can step back and be relaxed, take that breath, move your body around, release the tension that you're holding, and then just ask, well, what do I really want to do in this situation? Because taking that space, giving that space, even just half a second, however long it is, gives you so much more freedom to choose who you want to be and choose what you want to be and choose the reaction that you want to have and the actions that you have and choose the perspective that you want to have beholding towards a given situation. And you really start to get to know yourself in a much more beautiful way in doing that. But we can't do it with force and reactivity and tension, because it's ineffective. I mean, it works, it does do stuff, but it's not as, in my opinion, it's not as effective as if we have that relaxation and put our power where we choose to put it.
It reminds me of, you know, people have so much of my life called me a warrior. And what's coming to mind, you know, it and you saying all this is like, for me, I think it started, you know, from childhood, from a desire to want to protect people, because I used to beat up bullies. As a child, the way that I saw that was, no questions asked, you're going to go down because you just messed with somebody that I love, that I care about, right? So I handled it with force. But that shaped like the rest of my existence, basically, or my intense desire to truly want to protect people. So as I got older, the intention was always there to protect, but I started acquiring wisdom. So I would get like I was always known as a protector of my friends. I'd be the first person that if somebody got hurt, they'd come to me, let me know what happened so that I could deal with their, you know, their bully, whoever hurt them, whatever. But I started thinking like, you know, intending to right a wrong. And with that unconscious, well-intended intention, I started receiving more and more effective ways to actually help people. And it's how I think, you know, still people call me a warrior, even though I don't fight physically for people. They used to call me boxer in high school. but yeah, you persist in that, in the intention of the thing, and that's where you really get like whatever it is that you seek, you're gonna find. So even though it's taken a completely different shape, it paints everything that I do in life now. The way that I approach my healing, the way that I approach every conversation, and how I develop friendships, all this stuff, it's all grounded in this, in you know, being a protector. This lion, it's like they feel safe with each other, because, you know, usually the wild and the things that that are a threat to us, it's because they've felt threatened and they feel their existence is in danger. Usually, So there has to be a mutual agreement here, with the woman and the lion she's tamed. They've tamed each other. And it's because of, how, I mean, she's put that out. That's her intention, is to have herself and the lion feel safe. That is strength, but that, the intention needs to be there. And you get that clarity by allowing yourself to have these experiences and by knowing yourself. Because if you know yourself, you know there's nothing against you. You know there's nothing out to get you. You're totally grounded in that. But it's a process to get there. The process to totally feel that this powerful, that things just melt in your hands. That things know that they're safe with you. And that the thing is your emotions, your other people. It doesn't have to be outside of you. It's the stuff inside as well. That's what came to mind with that.
Reminds me of the song that I was getting into this week. And it's an artist named Ren. He's a London-based artist, and he just came out with a song called Cujo Beatdown. And this guy's pretty like he's known for his emotional lyrics and just really getting into mental health and his own mental health and the things that have gone through his mind and his head. And he comes out with a song and it's brutal. Like it's aggressive and angry and like looking at it, you're like, wow. Like, and so I was listening to him, like, where did this come from? Like, what's the story behind this? And so just digging in, and he had a situation where a producer had, he had a really bad interaction with this producer, and legal and all these words were said, and he kept his composure pretty well through most of that. But then he's like, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a song. And so he turned all of his anger into this work of art, into this song, into this production and the music video. And it's intense, like it's some intense stuff. But it was beautiful that he let himself express that and allowed himself to be in those emotions. And then just know, like, yeah, whatever happens, happens, and I'm not worried about it. But hey, I made some really cool art out of these emotions that I was having, and allowing yourself to have that outlet, recognizing the anger, the emotions, the feelings that we have inside of ourselves, and knowing that we can act on them if we want to, like we have that freedom, but also we don't have to act on them. And we can just know that, wow, that's a really powerful feeling that I have inside of me. And that's a beautiful, beautiful action or a beautiful observation to have in and of itself. And I think sometimes we're so afraid of those feelings and so afraid of losing control of our emotions that we actually act worse than if we just let ourselves have that emotion. Especially with men, like how many men are bursting out with anger and acting with such force because they won't allow themselves to cry. They won't allow themselves to be hurt. They've been taught to be this hard, tough thing for such a long time to hide their emotions. And instead of allowing that to come out, they protect it and they guard it and they act angry and they act big and it comes out in just a very brutal way. And we have a lot of hurt women and hurt children and hurt other just hurt people because we haven't allowed ourselves to just be in that emotion and say, wow, I'm feeling something strong here, and just be in it and express that in some way that isn't necessarily violent, or that isn't necessarily, something that's going to continue to harm others. And we can ask ourselves that question often, like, is what I'm doing spreading my own toxicity? Like, am I being toxic with my emotions? Or can I say, wow, here's a really strong emotion. Can I feel it? Can I let it work through me? And then can it just end where it's at? And no one else has to be hurt because I'm hurting.
Yep. And that's like a perfect thing to point out that like these people have a way to channel all of that, the rage, the emotions and all this stuff, like Ren does, through his music, through art. And I think that's also why Taylor Swift has such a huge fan base, 'cause she also, that's what came to mind. I was like, oh, that's what Taylor does too. She's not afraid of saying all the messy, ugly things about how she was in certain relationships because that's how she channels it. She puts it all into her the lyrics of her of these poems that she makes into music, and so many people resonate or are triggered by it because either they're also doing the work or they have unresolved issues for themselves. And I think that's what makes these people so huge, is that they provoke, they invoke, they call out all these emotions, that have been wanting to be expressed through us. And they're the ones that have the courage to do it publicly. I think just last week I was saying that I'm not afraid of screwing up publicly, of being human, and it's because of things like this, because I know how much of an impact it's going to have on somebody else, whether they realize it in the moment or not. Me allowing myself to be free in that way gives others the freedom to also be human and make mistakes and keep on, living and growing and shining, letting their real selves come through in that. And I think that's what those artists like Ren and Tay Tay, allow or grant for the rest of us by being that honest.
The beautiful thing, honesty is hard to have. Like, we're so afraid of being honest because when we're honest as kids, we're punished for it, and or we're told we were wrong, and we're told that our perspective and our view was not the right way, not the thing, and that confused us, and we got hurt by it, and so many of us got hurt by it. And so being honest is, it's a hard thing to have to completely do and just be like, what's really happening right now? And in so many different ways, there's so many different ways to be honest, and so many ways that we're hiding or lying to ourselves and covering up and throwing things in the shadow. But honesty is the sure, fast way to find ourselves. To find who we are and to understand ourselves and to understand others and to love and to have love and show love, and it's just that vulnerability to show the ugly, to show the things that are really there, to show the underlying thoughts, feelings. And I think it's beautiful to find those artists who can really express that in such beautiful ways. And then to find ways to do it ourselves and find those things that say, wow, this made me reflect on this and get to be honest with our own thoughts and feelings and why something happened or what really happened in a given situation. Beautiful way to create.
Allow.
Yeah.
Don't try to force something onto the page. Let it come through you.
Oh, yeah. I think about my poems, and my poems have always been some sort of expression of deep emotion. And I'm like, I can't, like, I can play with poems and it's fun, but those poems, the poems that I've enjoyed the most, have been the ones that have come naturally. Like, they just start popping through my head, and I'm like, I need to write this stuff down. And it usually is triggered by some emotion or some experience that I'm having at that time. And for whatever reason, it wants to come out as poetry. I need to rhyme this.
Yeah.
What?
I said that's funny. I've been having that, that urge to want to just channel things into the writing or drawing. Just, I need the light to agree with me. For now, I just podcast.
Here we go.
Talk
All
to
right,
my clients.
shifties.
That's enough.
Thanks for being amazing.
That's enough of us for you.
Go be honest, relax, breathe, walk,
Let things
and just,
come through you.
yeah, a little at a time. It doesn't have to be much. One step at a time. You can do one little step and then go hide again if you need to. But that little step will be something powerful for you.
Like the clownfish coming in and out little by little. Go
Yep.
right back into the thing that stings you and then come right back out.
And step into the unknown, because you don't really know. You think you know, but you're blinded by your own knowledge. That's where your strength is, being comfortable in the unknown.
Yeah, let life surprise and delight you.
Yeah.
The end.
We love you guys.
Love
Go be
you,
the shit.
shifties. See the shift. Like, oh, wait, I gotta point this way because it's opposite. What Elias said. Go be the shift. You are the shift. Just keep being it. The end. I said the
The
end
end.
twice. Let the shift hit the fan, let the shift hit the fan.